Welcome to the Marriage Max audio production of Marriage Fitness, Four Steps to Building and Maintaining Phenomenal Love by Mort Fertel. Read by the author, copyright 2004, Mort Fertel. All rights reserved. For information about Mort Fertel, Marriage Fitness, and a full line of Marriage Max products and services, please visit www.marriagemax.com. And now, here's the author, Mort Fertel.
We all have a story about how we fell in love. Do you remember your story? Unfortunately, most of us have a story about how we fell out of love, too. For some couples, the impetus was financial stress, a challenging child, the loss of a loved one, an affair, an addiction, an accident, an illness, an obsession, or unresolved issues from the past. Maybe you can't identify a specific cause, but instead are victim to time and life, which ate away at the special spark you and your spouse once had. Whatever your situation, it's likely that your relationship is not what it used to be. What are you going to do? Half of married couples call it quits. The other half settle for being roommates. Only a small percentage of couples are in love after a few years of marriage. It's no wonder everyone says love is a mystery. Love is not a mystery. There are specific things you can do with your spouse to create love in your marriage and to maintain your love for a lifetime. Just as there are physical laws of the universe, such as gravity, there are also laws for love. Just as the right diet and exercise program makes you physically healthy, a certain way of life with your spouse will make your marriage strong. It's a direct cause and effect. If you know and apply the laws, the results are predictable. You can make love. Marriage Fitness offers you a step-by-step system to make and maintain love in your marriage. The program can work for any couple. And the best news is that you don't have to dig into your past, drudge up your problems, or practice communication techniques. This is not marriage therapy. It's Marriage Fitness. A surprising solution. The wisdom in Marriage Fitness is a result of years of study and research, coaching couples, and conducting marriage seminars. But unlike other relationship experts who approach marriage from a clinical perspective, for me, the topic of relationship success is very personal. Do you remember I said that every couple has a story about how they fell out of love? I'd like to share with you the story of my marriage. My wife and I started out deeply in love, like most couples. We stayed up all night talking, surprised each other with thoughtful gifts, and spoke to each other in code words. You know that feeling of really being connected? That was us. But then something happened that destroys most marriages. We had a son who died when he was just 1 week old, and then we had twin daughters who also died as newborns. In less than 2 years, we lost three children. Understandably, my wife became depressed. I tried to cope by immersing myself in work. We ran from each other emotionally, quickly becoming roommates instead of soulmates. Everything felt different. Instead of talking to each other all night, it became a chore to talk for a few minutes. Instead of using our code words, sometimes we resorted to using curse words. It wasn't long before we began to think, is this what it's going to be like for the next 50 years? Is this what we had in mind when we married? Will we ever anticipate a phone call from the other or fantasize in the middle of the day? Will we ever resolve the problems we constantly fight about? What about true love? We didn't want to lose each other, so we made a commitment to work on our marriage. We tried the obligatory, honey, let me repeat what you said to make sure I understood you correctly. We also learned about gender differences and applied conflict resolution strategies. We even went to therapy to wrestle with our problems. But guess what? To our deep disappointment, nothing changed. You might say our marriage improved, we understood each other better, communicated more effectively, and solved a few problems. We became better roommates, but we did not become soulmates again. and our core problems remained unchanged. Then we had a breakthrough. We decided to set aside all our problems and focus on connecting with each other. We used a series of exercises that created a union, an emotional togetherness, which transformed our marriage. Not only did we resolve our differences, we fell in love again. And we did it, not by dealing with our problems, as serious as they were, but by establishing healthy habits in our marriage. This is the solution to most marital situations. To step away from your problems and spend your time and energy building your relationship through positive actions. It's counterintuitive, but if you strengthen your relationship, most of your problems will dissipate, and what remains of them can be more easily addressed in a safer, softer, and more forgiving marital environment. Many couples complain that the worst day of their week is the day they go to therapy together. They're not getting along, and the one night a week they spend together is spent with their arms folded and their legs crossed in opposite directions, immersed in the negativity of their marriage. I remember leaving our sessions feeling hopeless and frustrated. If your marriage is stressed, it's not the time to tackle difficult issues. In fact, if the timing is not right, trying to solve problems with your spouse can damage your marriage and make it less likely that you'll ever find resolution. If you have back problems, sometimes the solution is to do sit-ups. Strengthening one part of your body can heal another. Your marriage works in a similar way. How to simplify your situation. The transformation of my marriage and my disappointment with traditional counseling inspired my exploration into the topic of marriage success. I read virtually every relationship book on the market. I discovered that relationship success literature focuses primarily on conflict resolution and communication skills. It's surprising how much is written about solving problems and communicating more effectively, and how little is written about how to create love. Marriage Fitness is fundamentally different from any other book about relationship success. Marriage Fitness is not about conflict resolution or communication skills, because these are not the keys to a successful marriage. If a doctor cures your illness, does that mean you're healthy? No, it just means you're not sick. Similarly, solving your marital problems will not create love in your relationship. You might get along better and fight less, but you won't necessarily have a healthy marriage, and your problems will probably reappear or new ones will surface. The irony of the conflict resolution and communication approaches to love is that the correlation is backwards. Solving problems does not create love. It's love that solves problems. Effective communication does not create love. It's love that creates effective communication. The question to ask is not how to solve your problems or communicate effectively. The question is, how do you fall in love again? How do you make that magical connection, and how do you make it last? That's the key to a successful marriage, and that is what this book is about. In his essay, The Hedgehog and the Fox, based on an ancient Greek parable, Isaiah Berlin describes how different people approach problems. Some people are like foxes. They know many things. Other people are like hedgehogs. They know one big thing. A fox is a clever animal who devises many tactics for attacking the hedgehog. Every day, the fox has another brilliant strategy to win his prey. The hedgehog, on the other hand, is a slow, boring creature whose defense is the same no matter how the fox attacks. Every day, the fox thinks, aha, now I've got you. But every day, no matter how the fox approaches, no matter where he strikes, no matter what time of day he attacks, as soon as the hedgehog senses danger, he thinks, here we go again. And he rolls up into a little ball extends his sharp spikes and spoils the fox's best laid plans. Berlin explained that some people, foxes, make everything complicated. Their approach changes depending on the circumstances. Other people, hedgehogs, simplify the complexity of the world into one principle, one basic idea that determines their every move. Now, don't misunderstand. Hedgehogs are not simple-minded. On the contrary, their understanding of the world is so profound that they're able to identify the most fundamental elements. Albert Einstein, Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, Charles Darwin, and Adam Smith, they were all hedgehogs. To succeed in your marriage, you too must be a hedgehog. Every marriage has problems, issues, and challenges. But in every instance, the solution is the same. The solution is love. I know it sounds hokey, but think about when you fell in love. What problems did you have then? Hardly any, right? Was it difficult to communicate when you fell in love? Of course not. And you didn't need communication techniques either. You barely needed words. You communicated with the wink of an eye and finished each other's sentences. Love magically transforms everything. You know the twitch in the corner of your spouse's mouth? Remember when you thought it was cute? Then one day it became annoying, right? Why? Your spouse used to be thrifty. Now your spouse is cheap. What changed? The love in your marriage changed, and that changed everything. And when you rebuild your love, everything will change again. Don't get bogged down in the negativity of trying to solve your problems. It's not fun, and it's not productive. Be a hedgehog. Use this marriage fitness program to build positive energy in your relationship. You will transform your marriage and solve your problems. Getting your marriage in shape. Your marriage is the lead domino in your life. Whichever way it falls is the way everything else in your life goes too. That's one reason why it's so important to focus on your marriage. Not only because it's an awesome experience to be in love, but because being in love, having a healthy marriage, makes you a better parent, a more productive professional, and a healthier person spiritually, emotionally, even physically. Your marriage affects your entire life. When you're in love, everything is wonderful. But when you're not, nothing is ever enough. You could dress in the latest fashions, go on every diet, make all the money in the world, and be a leader in your community. But if you're not connected with your spouse, if you're not at peace in your home, nothing will be right. You may not realize the extent to which your fulfillment in life depends on your marriage. You may think your marriage is one aspect of your life that contributes to your overall happiness. It's not true. Your marriage is the framework, the very bedrock upon which every aspect of your life is built. It's the pool in which everything swims. If it's healthy, everything thrives. If it's polluted, everything suffers. Most people don't focus on their marriage until they have problems, but that's like ignoring your body until you're sick. Everyone knows that the key to good health is diet and exercise, a healthy lifestyle. It's the same with your marriage. Just as you need a healthy diet and exercise for your body, you need marriage fitness for your relationship. This book offers you a straightforward, do-it-yourself marriage fitness plan complete with everything you need to succeed. Ideally, you and your spouse should read Marriage Fitness and work on the 4-step plan together. If your spouse is not interested in reading the book, ask your spouse to participate in the 4-step plan with your guidance. Even if your spouse does not participate, you can still strengthen your marriage using marriage fitness. Consider the profound love you feel for your child. Is it because of everything they do for you? No. You created that love. It's a result of everything you do. In the same way, you control the love you experience in your marriage. Love is a verb. It's something you do. Two in one. Marriage Fitness offers insights into the inner workings of love and a corresponding four-step action plan. After you read chapters 1 through 3, you'll experience a paradigm shift and understand the dynamics of your marriage better than ever before. You'll have a new frame of reference enabling you to pinpoint that magical connection known as love. Chapters 1 through 3 also explain the philosophy underlying marriage fitness and answer some crucial questions. What really is love? What's the solution to most marital problems? What does it mean to be soulmates? After you read chapters 4 through 7, you'll be empowered with a marriage fitness program called the Marriage Max 4-Step Plan. Step 1. Put love first. Step 2. Give presence, and that's spelled P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Step 3. Move from me to we. And step 4. Save yourself. Chapters 4 through 7 are each devoted to one step of the 4-step plan. Each chapter explains how and why each step manifests love in your marriage. Most importantly, each chapter offers you exercises to strengthen your marriage and explains exactly how to apply each step. By the time you turn the last page of Marriage Fitness, you'll understand the dynamics of your relationship and you'll know exactly how to apply your knowledge to create lasting love in your marriage. A tribute to your marriage. There's a story about a man, we'll call him Mr. Jones. He was at a dinner party with his wife when he was asked, "If you died, but could come back as anyone, who would it be?" Without hesitation, Mr. Jones said, "I'd want to come back as Mrs. Jones's second husband." What a compliment to his wife. What a tribute to their marriage. So how would you answer that question? And what would your spouse say? Can you imagine you and your spouse answering that question just like Mr. Jones? It can happen. I'm not just offering you an okay marriage. I'm saying that just 2 short months from now, if you and your spouse had only one wish in another life, you would wish to be with each other. What I'm offering you is a phenomenal marriage, a truly healthy relationship. No matter what state your marriage is in today, I believe you're 100% entitled to a strong marriage filled with passion, intimacy, and shared purpose. You can keep up with the Joneses. Marriage Fitness will show you how. Part 1. How Love Works. Chapter 1. The Power of Love. Once upon a time, a happy princess put on her bonnet and took a walk into the woods with her favorite ball. She stopped and sat on a rock next to a cool spring with a rose in the middle of it. One time she threw her ball in the air so high that it dropped and rolled into the water. The princess was very sad. A frog poked his head out of the water and asked the princess, "Why are you crying?" The princess whined, "My favorite ball fell into the water. I would give all my fine clothes, pearls, jewels, and everything I have in the world to get it back." The frog said, "I don't want your fine clothes, pearls, jewels, or anything you have in the world. But if you invite me to your palace, let me eat at your table and sleep in your bed, and if you love me, I will bring you your ball." "This is nonsense," thought the princess. "This silly frog can't leave the water. I'll agree to his wishes just to get my ball back." And so she did. But as soon as the frog gave the princess her ball, she ran away as fast as she could. The princess did not keep her word. The next day, when the princess sat down for dinner, she heard a strange noise, tap, tap, plash, plash, as if something were coming up the marble staircase. Soon afterwards, there was a gentle knock at the door, and a little voice cried out and said, "Open the door, my princess dear." The princess ran to the door. When she opened it, she saw the frog that she had forgotten all about. She screamed, "Go away!" and slammed the door and ran back to the dinner table. The king, her father, saw that she was very upset and asked her what happened. "There's an ugly frog at the door," she said. "Yesterday he got my ball from the spring. I promised him he could come to the palace, eat at the table, sleep in my bed, and I told him I would love him. I didn't mean it, but now he wants to come in." The king said to the princess, "You must keep your word. Let him in and do as you promised." So the princess let the frog into the palace and brought him to the dining room. "Lift me upon the chair next to yours," said the frog to the princess, "and let me eat next to you." The princess glanced toward the king, who gave her an insistent nod, and she lifted the frog, and they ate together. After his meal, the frog said, "I'm tired. Carry me upstairs and put me in your bed." The princess reluctantly took the frog upstairs and put him in her bed. The princess was tired too, but she couldn't sleep. She knew she still had not fulfilled her promise. She had not loved the frog. So the princess took a deep breath, closed her eyes, and kissed the ugly frog. When she opened her eyes, the princess was astonished to see a handsome prince instead of the ugly frog. The next day they married and lived happily ever after. There is nothing in life that we pursue more passionately than love. We have many wants and needs, but nothing preoccupies our mind and dictates our actions like love. Our desire for love is at the bedrock of our existence. And believe it or not, the Frog Prince story teaches us why. In the beginning of the story, the princess had her ball and happiness, but she had not yet met a handsome prince. When she lost her ball and became sad, the frog, who knew he could become a handsome prince, offered her everything she wanted in life. All she had to do was love him, and she would have her ball, happiness, and a handsome prince. But the princess wasn't willing to love the frog, so she got her ball, but became tangled in a frustrating relationship with the frog. The princess tried to improve her situation by getting rid of the frog. She lied to him, ran from him, forgot about him, screamed at him, slammed the door in his face, and cringed at the thought of kissing him. None of that changed anything. But when she kissed him, when she loved him, that changed everything. The frog became the handsome prince, and in the blink of an eye, literally, she had everything she wanted in life: her ball, happiness, and a handsome prince. And so it is with love. It has a miraculous, transformative power. When we're in love, everything changes, from frog to prince. Love is like a golden lens through which we experience all of life. Marriage Fitness and the Marriage Max 4-Step Plan is based on the premise that there is nothing more important in your marriage or in your life than building phenomenal love between you and your spouse. Fixing problems, improving communication, understanding each other, it all pales in comparison to the transformative effect of creating love. This chapter explains the transformative power of love. It explains how and why love is the solution to your relationship problems, the secret to effective communication with your spouse, and the path to ultimate fulfillment in your marriage and in your life. Clarifying your needs. To get what you want, you have to know what you need. You experience longing and desire in life, but for what? You want, but what do you really want? Did you ever get a food craving you couldn't satisfy? You go to the kitchen, scan the shelves of the refrigerator, and return to the couch empty-handed. A minute later, you're back in the kitchen for a second look. Nothing changed, of course, but this time you pick something even though it doesn't appeal to you. You eat it, but as expected, it was not what you wanted. So you return to the kitchen for a third time. We've all had the experience of wanting something, but not knowing what we need to satisfy our desire. At the root of our existence, what do we need? We want our needs met, but what is it that once attained would satisfy us? Where can we find ultimate fulfillment? What is our most primal desire? And what does it have to do with marriage fitness and creating phenomenal love in your life? The Greek philosopher Plato described the existential root of human beings using a myth which portrays two people joined back to back, male and female, as one androgynous creature. Since man and woman could not face each other, Zeus sent a thunderbolt that split them into two. According to Plato, since man and women were originally connected, we are instinctively motivated to return to that original state of connection. The Bible describes human origin similarly. It says, God created him, male and female, he created them. Why does the Bible first refer to man in the singular, him, and then in the plural, them? Which is it? Did God create one person or two? The answer is yes. Ancient tradition explains that God created man and woman back to back as one androgynous person. Later, God separated man and woman, but that original connection lies at the root of our existence and formed an indelible yearning for us to be connected again. Not only do we inherit from the original human being a desire to connect, according to many traditions, but we crave it as a result of our beginning too. From conception through birth, we're connected to our mother. Even after birth, research shows that we don't feel distinct from our mother, even though our connection is no longer physical. The original connection with our mother contributes to form our consciousness, which longs for connection. Although we have a primal need to connect to someone else, nature doesn't allow us to be satisfied with our connection to our mother. In fact, nature seems to discourage it. As children, we gradually separate from our mother, physically and emotionally. I remember my son's first day at school. My wife and I were very concerned that he wouldn't be able to separate from my wife, who had been home with him for over 3 years. We drove him to school, walked him to his classroom, opened the door, and he ran to the center of the classroom where all the kids were playing. He didn't even say goodbye. We peered through the window of the door for a few minutes and watched him play. We cried. He did not. Our first day of school is just one step in a long process of separation that leads to independence and autonomy. But the more independent we become, the more we realize how dependent we really are. In other words, the more we wean from the connection to our mother, the more we need to connect with someone else. Beginning with your teenage years, making that new connection probably became your most passionate concern. Your need to connect is primal. Ultimately, true love, a deep, profound connection with another person, is the only solution to your most primal yearning. The Greek playwright Sophocles said, "One word frees us from all the weight and pain of life. That one word is love." When it comes to love, it's all on the line. How else can we explain the things people do for love? Things that sometimes make no sense. The fact that you got married at all, in spite of the statistical probability of failure, is completely illogical. That's because love is not logical. It's ontological. It's your most basic need. It's what you really want. Falling in love. Falling in love is the most euphoric experience in life. And now you know why. Love is a bond that quenches your primal need for connection. Falling in love is like finding the missing part you've been looking for your entire life. It completes you. When my wife and I reconnected, everything broken became whole again. We experienced the quantum change in our marriage and in our lives. Something just clicked. Everything changed from frog to prince. Love transforms you, puts a glow on your face and a hop in your step. If you're a workaholic, you'll take every vacation day you're owed. If you're shy, you'll come out of your shell. If you usually go to sleep early, you'll stay up all night talking. Love is a stimulant. Look how it inspired poets, artists, storytellers, and philosophers for thousands of years. Do you remember when you fell in love and your spouse was perfect? And you were perfect for each other, right? You may have even said things like, "I wouldn't want to change a thing." If we asked most brides and grooms for a list of each other's flaws, I suspect the list would be short. Love is a golden lens through which your lover is flawless. Love makes everything right and everything different. Do you know the feeling? I bet you do. But do you still have the feeling? You probably don't. What happened? The person you would have died for is now the person you want to kill. Your spouse was the answer to everything, and now he's your biggest problem. She made you happier than you'd ever been, and now she is the source of all your misery. Am I exaggerating your situation? Maybe you don't have any problems, but maybe you don't have much excitement either. Regardless of your situation, two questions remain. What happened to that exhilarating experience, and how can you regain it? At the risk of sounding clinical, research shows that falling in love is a biochemical experience, which inevitably wears off, like the fizz in a glass of soda. The initial connection you felt towards your spouse was real, but it was a natural phenomenon. You might not want to hear this, but what you thought was your romantic destiny was just nature taking its course. When it comes to love, nature's course lasts about 2 years. After that, the connection fades. It could be that neither of you did anything, but everything will feel different. You may notice flaws in your spouse you never saw before. You've known each other for years, but you can't believe you didn't realize your spouse was... You fill in the blank. You wonder how you missed such blatant flaws, especially now that you know everyone else saw them from the beginning. Why did it take you years to realize what everyone else knew all along? After about 2 years together, you may experience new incompatibilities too. Things may not go as smoothly as they once did. It may be difficult to get along. You may find it hard to believe that you were not aware of these incompatibilities earlier. How did you miss them? As the natural connection fades from your marriage, so will that euphoric experience. This doesn't mean your marriage will crash. You may not even have major problems, but you won't have that profound love that you once did. What will you do then? Choosing love. When the original connection with your spouse fades, you have several options. One option is to accept the situation, scale down your expectations, and try to navigate an arrangement that works. Other than divorce, most couples choose this option. How many couples do you know who are deeply connected and have a phenomenal marriage? Most couples are more like partners dividing responsibility to satisfy each other's needs. A husband who is the financial engine and a wife who cares for the home and children is one of many possible scenarios. And although couples like this have bitter fights, harsh words, problems, frustrations, irreconcilable differences, and aggravation, they also enjoy sex, money, vacations, friends, children, companionship, and family celebrations. This is a typical marriage. It includes the good and the bad. Some people in marriages like this are happy, others are not. Most fall somewhere in the middle. But none are experiencing the profundity of true love and the ultimate fulfillment of a phenomenal marriage. A second option is to address the problems in your marriage by improving your understanding of yourself and your spouse, examining how you interact, and developing more effective communication and negotiating skills. This may solve some of your problems. You might communicate more effectively. You may not fight as often, and when you do, it may be more controlled and constructive. You may negotiate a more compatible, bearable, even pleasant existence. But this is still convenience, not the passionate, awesome, powerful, deeply connected love that is your primal yearning. More of your needs may be met, but your ultimate need will be unfulfilled. You might feel happy, but not complete. You may eliminate some problems, but you won't feel connected, and you won't recapture that special spark that once transformed your life. A third option is to conclude that your spouse is not meeting your needs, get a divorce, and begin to search for someone new. Let me save you a lot of pain, time, and money. This probably will not work. Statistically, your chances of divorcing the second time are higher than the first. Why? Because your challenge is not to find the right person to love. It's to love the person you find. This is important. Let me explain. Most people put very little effort into learning how to succeed in love, even though, as a society, we are failing in that endeavor, and love is what people most want. The reason is that most people think love depends on meeting the right person. You have to be lucky in love, right? If the secret is to meet the right person, if it's luck that's needed, then why prepare? What's to learn? No one prepares to play roulette, right? If your goal is to find the right person, then your effort goes into that search and into making yourself desirable so that when you find the right person, they want you. Ah, now there are two huge markets. The get lucky in love market, which includes clubs, bars, gyms, and dating services, and the look your best market, which includes fitness and diet programs, cosmetics, hair care, plastic surgery, fashion, jewelry, perfume, and automobiles. Now, there's nothing wrong with meeting people or being fit and looking good, but those activities have nothing to do with building a phenomenal marriage. Most people spend more time, effort, and money trying to find the right person than they expend on learning to love the person that they waited so long and looked so hard to find. But the emphasis should be reversed. Suppose your goal was to be a painter. Would you spend most of your time learning how to paint or looking for the right model? Love has very little to do with finding the right person. Most people who searched and chose the, quote, right person are now divorced. If you're asking whether or not you're with the right person, you might be asking the wrong question. If you bought a Dell computer and couldn't figure out how to work it, would you throw it away so you could buy an IBM? If you don't know how to use a computer, changing brands isn't going to help. The important question is not how to find the right person. It's how to create and maintain a deep, loving connection with the person you find. Instead of searching for someone new, learn to love the one you're with. If you want to be physically fit, you have to learn about diet and exercise and commit to a regular discipline. Marriage fitness is like physical fitness. It's a skill that requires wisdom, practice, and commitment. For most marriages, I suggest the fourth option. Connect with your spouse and create phenomenal love in your marriage. You won't have nature on your side this time. You won't simply fall in love. Building love is more like a climb. But with the Marriage Max 4-step plan, you can connect with your spouse again. And this time, it doesn't have to be at the whim of nature. This time, you can have control. You can make love, and it doesn't have to end. Ever. Could things really be like they once were? Yes. Marriage fitness is based on the universal laws of love. If you know and apply the laws, the results are predictable. You can make the connection. And when you do, you'll fall in love all over again. Transforming your marriage. Why does connecting with your spouse change everything? Because love has transformative power. Imagine yourself as a piece of a jigsaw puzzle, with each protrusion and indentation representing a different aspect of your personality. Imagine your spouse has a puzzle piece with a unique pattern of protrusions and indentations too. When you meet, there are points of compatibility and points of incompatibility. Sometimes your protrusions slide perfectly into your spouse's indentations, and sometimes things just don't fit. But one thing is for sure, the size and shape of your puzzle pieces, your personalities, don't change much throughout the years. If you're stubborn, the chances are good that you've always been stubborn. Here are some interesting dynamics to consider. If your puzzle pieces, your personalities, don't change significantly, then why do you experience changes in your spouse and in your compatibility? If you and your spouse haven't changed much, then why did your love change? How could you have been unaware of such obvious flaws in your spouse? Why did it take you years to see things that everyone else knew in the beginning? How can so much change when so little changes? There is a single answer to all of these questions that offers piercing insight into how to create a phenomenal marriage. Nothing really changes except love. But love changes your experience of everything. So when love changes, your experience of everything else changes too. Your spouse and your compatibility don't change. The love in your marriage changes how you experience them. If you take away the golden lens, everything looks different. Your spouse is not compassionate, for example. Your spouse has the capacity to be compassionate or harsh. The characteristic that you experience depends on your marriage. When you're in love, your spouse is compassionate. When you're not, your spouse is harsh. But what's causing the change is the state of your connection, your love. You and your spouse have a third puzzle piece that fits between you. That puzzle piece is your love. Unlike the other two pieces, you can change this piece. You and your spouse create the love piece of your puzzle together. How you shape it determines how you fit. You and your spouse can be compatible or incompatible. You can be the most wonderful people in each other's lives or each other's enemies. It's all determined by the love piece of your puzzle. If you create love, you'll be perfect for each other. If you don't, nothing will fit. Your spouse and your compatibility haven't changed over the years. Your connection changed how you experience them. And by reconnecting, you can change your experience back. You can't change anyone. To think you can change others is a huge mistake that many people make. When a marriage turns from sweet to sour, we tend to think it's the other person's fault. We think the other person changed and ruined everything. But people don't change much. And it wasn't a change in anyone that spoiled things. It's the loss of connection between a husband and wife that spoils everything. As the old English proverb says, faults are thick where love is thin. If you're lacking connection with your spouse, your experience of each other will be negatively impacted. If you reconnect, you'll regain the magic of your courtship. You can't change your spouse, but your connection can transform how you experience your spouse. A person who falls in love is often asked, "What do you love about him?" Most people respond, "He brings out the best in me." The truth is, it's not him bringing out your best. It's the love. Love is the cause. Love determines your reality. It is the golden lens. Create love in your marriage, and everything will be different. Some people say love is blind, but that implies that a person in love isn't seeing something. People who activate true, deep love are not blind to anything. They change everything. People in love see things differently, not because they're blind, but because they're in love. For a person in love, things are different. Cinderella asks, "Do you love me because I'm beautiful, or am I beautiful because you love me?" The answer is, love is the great beautifier. Sometimes people feel victim to a marriage they think their spouse caused to go sour. "He changed, and that's why we don't get along anymore. There's nothing I can do about it." But in fact, the causality flows the other way. The marriage causes the change, not a person. And that you can do something about. You can transform your marriage, and your marriage will transform your experience of each other. The power lies within you. You are in control. Couples sometimes make the mistake of changing aspects of their life that they think will make them happy. My wife and I were sure that selling our house and moving to a different community would make a big difference in our lives. But usually changes like that don't impact anything beyond that thing. Love, on the other hand, impacts everything. It's the heart that pumps blood to every limb. This is why focusing on communication skills and problem solving, while helpful, miss the target. It's not the root issue. It's not the heart of the matter. It merely treats the symptom. You could master both skills and still be completely unfulfilled in your marriage and without true love in your life. Whereas if you address the root of your marriage and consummate a connection with your spouse, you will experience euphoric love and your problems will fade away. Love conquers all. It's the root of transformation. Summary. Love is the most awesome experience in life because it fulfills our most basic need, the need to connect with another person. But falling in love is a gift from Mother Nature, which doesn't last forever. When a static love fades from your relationship, so does the ecstasy from your life. You also experience flaws in your spouse and incompatibilities in your relationship. But neither your spouse nor your compatibility changed. Your love changed, and that changed your experience of everything. At this point in your marriage, you have four options. 1. Lower your expectations and navigate a marriage that works. If you select this option, your experience could vary from dissatisfaction to happiness, but you will not achieve true love or ultimate fulfillment in life. 2. Improve your marriage by focusing on some of your marital issues. This approach may enhance your marriage, but once again, you will miss out on true love and ultimate fulfillment. 3. Divorce or separate and seek love in another relationship. This won't work because the key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's learning to love the person you found. 4. Reconnect with your spouse. You connected when you fell in love. You can do it again. The first time was a gift. This time, you'll have to make love. You can do it. And Marriage Fitness shows you how. When you make love, when you reconnect, everything changes from frog to prince. Love is a golden lens through which your spouse and your life look wonderful. Love quenches your deepest desire, and it is there that you will find ultimate fulfillment in your marriage and in your life.